We want to welcome you this morning to Barbies Grove Baptist Church. Whether you're in the parking lot or whether you're listening later on the web, we're so glad that you've chosen to join us. We were so thankful that the Holy Spirit touched your heart and had you to come and to listen, to hear from God, to worship the Lord. And as Paul wrote to one of the churches, he said, though I'm not with you in the body, I'm with you in spirit. We're not sitting here beside of each other, but we're all one in the Lord. We're one in the Spirit of God because He binds us together. And so we just welcome you. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward to what He's going to do and say for each of us today. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. And Lord, I just thank you for who you are, for your love, your care, your mercy. I thank you for every blessing of life that you give us. Father, I pray for our nation. I pray for a move of God in our nation. Father, I pray that you might touch hearts and draw people to you. Father, I pray for those that are listening to this service. Lord, you know every heart, every need, whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a spiritual need, an emotional need. Lord, you're so great that you know down to the deepest inner recesses of our being. And Father, out of your mercy, your love, your grace, would you pour into these folks all that they need today? Would you use this service, the prayers, the music, the preaching, the Word of God as we read it, would you use that? Plus, may the Holy Spirit give us anointed ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you for the marvelous love that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to Sunday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, for our services here today. I want to ask us to have a little, we're going to do a hymn sing, and everybody sing together now as we sing the song. It says, holy, 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 and surely we are worshiping a holy God. Let's sing together, holy, holy, holy.
You can stand.
thank you card that I want to read to you. It says, you made our little corner of the world a happier place to be. Thanks for all the pajamas and the gowns and everything else that you did, and we greatly appreciate it. And that's from the Mount Pleasant House, and that's for the project that Pam brought to us. And our church presented, I believe, 40 to 45 sets of pajamas and gowns to the nursing home at Mount Pleasant House. And so thank you again for all your contributions to that worthy cause. And as far as announcements go for us, we are going to continue on with the services as we're doing them now. We'll be doing live services for the parking lot, recorded on 99.1. And then, of course, the webcast is the same service we're doing now. But the webcast will not be available until around 12:30. And we're going to continue with that until things begin to change. And I'm beginning to see some changes and some good positive things that are going on. So let's hope and pray that there will. Also, I want to remind you all again that we're not able to do our normal business meetings and conferences that we would normally do to keep you all informed. So I will again remind you that if you have any questions at all, please contact your deacon. You have a deacon assigned to each family, so please call that person, and he will be able to help you with any questions you might have. I want to bring you up to date on the offering that we had for the Pregnancy Resource Center. At this point in time, we have $775 that has been given to go to that great cause. We've decided it'd be a good idea just to hold that offering open until the end of the month. So you still have through the month of February to give to that great cause, the Pregnancy Resource Center. So keep that in mind as you go forward. And that completes all the announcements I have for this morning. Quite a large prayer list that I want to share with you this morning. And the first I want to ask us to remember is Chris Barbie. Chris has been tested positive with the COVID virus. But I talked to the family yesterday, and Wes and the family, and all the family's doing well. No one else is sick in the family. Chris is doing well. But so let's keep the entire family in their prayer as they're in quarantine. Let's continue to remember Gary Hamilton and Gary's, and with Tonda being his caregiver. Let's remember both of those as Gary is and working through the coronavirus. Parks and Ann Barbie, those are cousins to Kenny Linker, and they are battling the COVID virus as well. Let's remember Andrea and Brandon Louder, members of our church here. They are both battling the COVID virus as well. Mitchell Culp has a aneurysm, a very dangerous situation. Let's remember him in our prayers. We also need to remember P.J. Swan. She's been on our prayer list for a couple weeks now, and she's remaining in a coma for 2 weeks, and quite unusual situation there. But she has a brain aneurysm that they're working with there. So let's remember to keep praying for P.J. Swan. Shirley Summerlin, the family of Shirley Summerlin, passed away with COVID this week, a friend of Kathy High. Let's remember the caregivers. I talked to several people this week, and there's a couple caregivers that come to mind, and they've asked for prayer, and I want to lift them up. Let's pray for Lionel and Tamara Hahn. They're both of them have family members on both sides of their family that require special time and special attention. And let's remember those two caregivers, please. I have a praise report. Jackson Keplinger, the surgery he had was absolutely successful. And so we praise God for the eye surgery that he had, and Jackson is doing very, very well. Let's continue to remember our leaders of our country, our county, our state, and Washington, D.C. Let's continue to pray for them. I want to lift up Pastor Ed today as he comes before us, and in the rest of this service, we dedicate and give him all the glory and the honor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us. You've given us to be here on this Lord's Day, this time that we can come together and, Lord, present a worship service that others may benefit from it, others may lift up praise to you from it. And then, Lord, also, if there's someone there that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, they can listen and the Word can, the Spirit can lead them to knowing you as their precious Savior. And we thank God for it. And Lord, we want to now remember those that are hurting among us. And I want to be specific this morning. And we lift up these people to you and the needs. We remember Chris Barbie. Remember Gary and Tonda Hamilton. Matt and Tabitha and Brindley Hamilton. They are battling the coronavirus. Parks and Ann Barbie. Andrea and Brandon Louder. Though all of those are dealing with the coronavirus. And then, Lord, we pray for Mitchell Culp, who has the aneurysm, and P.J. Swan, who also is in a coma and with aneurysm. And, Lord, we pray for Shirley Summerlin family, the loss, the death of their loved one. Lord, we pray for that and give them comfort. And we lift up praise, Lord, to you for Jackson Keplinger, that his surgery was successful. And now, Lord, we want to pray for our service, Lord, as we come and finish the service today in your name. We ask, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Ed as he comes to us today. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Jeff Keplinger, who is leading out with us this morning in the technical side. We pray for him and thank you, Lord, for his service. And then, Lord, we also want to thank you, Lord, for another opportunity you've given us to be a part of this service. Lord, we thank you for that time. Now, Lord, we pray for our leaders of our country. We pray for our leaders in our county, our leaders in our state. And then, Lord, if it be your precious will, Lord, we pray, Lord, that this coronavirus will soon go away where our country and we could all get back to some degree of normal. And now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we will be very, very careful to give you all the glory and all the praise for everything that's done. And then in Lord, your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Today, as we think about our praise music today, when I was selecting the music, I don't know why, but the word holy just kept coming up. And so the next song that we're going to sing is Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome in This Place. And Indeed, he definitely is. And he is here. He's with us today. I know for sure that there's only three of us in this building, but if you count the Holy Spirit, we're just full. And we thank God for it. Listen as we sing, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy, Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in Thy presence there's healing divine. No other power can heal, Lord, but Thine. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. there's healing. I know other power can heal, Lord, but
Leonard and Jeff and I have already welcomed the Holy Spirit into this place. And I pray that whether you're sitting in a recliner, sitting on the edge of the bed, sitting at the computer desk, wherever you are at this moment, you just whisper that prayer, Holy Spirit, you are welcome right here with me. Worship Him, love Him, welcome Him. Let Him love you. You'll be so blessed just to honor His presence. Just to let Him know, I want you with me and I want to be with you. Holy Spirit, truly, He is welcome. From time to time over the years, I've either read or heard someone say something like this. You know, the Bible's an old-fashioned book. It's full of fairy tales. It's out of date. It has absolutely no relevance for our modern age. It may have been fine back in those days when people were ignorant, but it doesn't have anything to do or to say to us today. Well, when I hear that or when I read that, I know I'm dealing with somebody that's ignorant. Can't put it any other way. They just don't understand what the Bible is all about. Now I'm going to throw in something that's not a part of the message, but just to give you an illustration. Back last year, about this time or a little later, when they started giving us all of those rules about how to deal with COVID, you know, wear a mask, social distance, isolate, quarantine, wipe up all the surfaces, keep your hands washed. I pulled my Bible out and went especially to Leviticus to all the rules that the Lord gave Moses to give to his people, something like 3,500 years ago, between 3,000 and 3,500 years ago. And you know, the rules God gave Israel back then, dealing with leprosy and other types of contagious diseases, are exactly the rules that the medical profession has been giving us for the last year. Out of date, the Bible is just as up to date as the latest announcement on the news. But now the real message I want to talk to us about is God's love for you. The news has been telling us how stressed everybody is. And you think about some of the things that are going on, people wondering and worrying, will I catch COVID? Will my loved ones catch COVID? Will I lose my job? What'll I do if I lose my job? Am I going to be evicted from my apartment? How are my kids going to keep up in school? And are they going to learn? Are they going to fall behind? Will I ever get over feeling lonely and isolated? And the list goes on and on. And the result is depression. And as a result of that, the news is telling us that drug use is up, alcohol consumption is up, and suicides are up. People dealing with the depression and the stress of what's going on. I think about that and I realize that most Monday mornings, around 9 o'clock or so, I ride over to Stanley Commons or the old Quinby Mall to see what's for sale at the produce market. And on my way home, I come down Troy Road or 2427, right past the ABC store. And it astonishes me how many cars are sitting there at 9:30 on or 10 o'clock on Monday morning. Now, I'm used to seeing the parking lot full on Friday evenings. But on Monday morning? And so whenever the news comes on and says alcohol consumption is up, people are trying to deal with all of the stress, I understand. I understand. But you know, problems like that aren't really new. Problems like we're facing, we faced the last year, aren't really new. You open your Bible and you start in Genesis and you come out at Revelation and you find out that how many times did they deal with drought? And back in those days, they couldn't ship crops thousands and thousands of miles. If there was a drought in your area and the crops dried up, you went hungry. You think about the days of Elijah and Elisha. And some other times when the droughts, crop failures. You're talking about in the time of Isaac, there was a famine in the land. And then you read that sometimes they had a crop, but the locust or some other grasshopper or insect came through and just wiped them out. So they dealt with that. They dealt with enemy raids. You remember the story of Gideon, how he was hiding in the wine press trying to thresh out a little bit of grain so that the enemy didn't see him and come and steal it. And they dealt with contagious diseases like leprosy. And they had to come to a way of isolating and quarantining and all of those things. Now, you know, as you study your Bible, you find that God did not ignore their needs. God did not ignore their problems. God did not pretend they didn't exist. God knew that His people had to have answers, just like we need answers. God's people needed a way to deal with the stress, just like we need to deal with the stress. And God has a word for us in troubled times. Now, let me put a sort of a parenthesis here. If you don't believe in God, if you don't trust God, if you want nothing to do with God, most of what I'm about to say doesn't help you. If you think there is no God, God still loves you. God still cares about you. God still wants to bless you. But if you don't come to the Lord, you're going to walk without the blessings of God. From time to time, at this time of the year, you'll read about somebody that froze to death, some homeless person that froze to death out in the cold. They were offered a warm, dry place in a homeless shelter. They could have had a hot meal, a bath, and a place to sleep where it was warm. But they chose to do without and froze to death. It was their choice. And God has some wonderful, wonderful opportunities and offers and promises for us. But we have to choose to accept them. We have to choose to believe them. We have to choose, yes, this is my way. First passage of scripture we want to look at is in Matthew 6. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about this very thing that we're concerned about. Verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or what yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Notice how many times Jesus says, take no thought, and it means don't worry. That doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you don't, say in the summer, can some food or freeze some food. Or you don't go to the grocery store and buy when you run out of something. It means we don't worry. We don't fret over what we have or don't have. He says, I take care of the birds. I take care of the flowers. And I'll take care of you. That's the Lord's promise to us. Now let me say a few things here along that line. One, be a giver. The Bible says what we sow, we reap. There's the law of seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. And those who give, receive. So be a giver. Second thing is work and save. I think that there's some people that must have been in Paul's day. They decided, oh, God's going to provide, and I'm going to sit here in my recliner and drink iced tea, and God's going to provide. And remember what Paul wrote? You don't work, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. What was Paul saying? Healthy people need to be out there working and producing. If you have a job, God gives you a job. I remember years ago, a guy ran a hole-in-the-wall cafe. He got up about 4 o'clock every morning to start cooking, and he had a bunch of folks that would come in every morning and have breakfast. And one day I was in there, and he was fussing and fuming. He said, I got guys that come in and say, people offer me all kind of work, but I'm not going to work that cheap. And he named off a salary that was not bad. He said they'd rather sit there and gripe than work. And he says, here I am getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and coming over here fixing breakfast for them. Now, God's going to provide, but we need to do our part. And we also need to not be foolish with what he gives. I'm thinking about a relative. And I won't mention a name, but when he came out of World War II, he was very skilled in the construction business. And he lived in an area where construction was going wild. And as the saying goes, in the summer, those warm months, he made money hand over fist. But he didn't manage it. And every year, along about January, he and his kids and his wife went hungry. Now, in the 7 or 8 months he worked, he made much more money than the average person was making here in Stanley County in the cotton mills. He could make that much in 7 or 8 months, but he didn't manage it. And as a result, there were times he went hungry, not because God hadn't provided, but because he was careless with what he had. Jesus here says, don't worry. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your needs. You just seek him and cooperate with him. Now you flip over a few pages to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And verse 28. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Friend, take your burdens to Jesus. Take your burdens to Jesus. Go to him. Go to him. He says, if you're weak, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now you can go take your troubles to the bottle. But when you wake up, you're just going to have a headache and be sick and maybe wreck your car and have other problems. But you can take your troubles to Jesus and he's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of you. We can sit there and watch junk on TV till our minds are fried. And when we turn it off, we still got the problems. But when we take our troubles to Jesus, it's going to make a difference. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, cast how many of your care upon Jesus? All of them. All of them. All of them. All of you care on him. I remember reading a testimony of a pastor that was doing a healing line. And this lady comes up and says, I want you to pray that God will take half my troubles. Take half your troubles. Why not give him all of them? He said, oh, I can handle half of them, but I just can't handle all of them. And he said, I can't pray that for you, ma'am. I can pray that you to take all your problems. He said, no, I couldn't do without some worries. So you see, here he's saying, cast all of your care on the Lord. All of it. Now, usually this is pretty hard, especially at first. I've, in a sense, mentally been to the altar and laid my care on the Lord. Got up, started turning around, and reached back there and picked him up. And I imagine most of you have as well. And so I have to turn right around and lay them back down again. And sometimes we get down there and we name them off and we say, Lord, I lay this care and I lay this worry and I lay this one down. And we get up and we start to walk away and the devil says, you did really good. He's standing right there and he says, you did really good, but says, you need to at least take one of these back with you. And he picks up one of them and hands us back to him. And if we're not careful, we'll take it. Those of you that get the newsletter, remember that one of the very first ones that I wrote almost a year ago talked about we can wear the garment of heaviness or the garment of praise. And I use this description. The garment of heaviness has a lot of, it's a dark gray, drab color, and it's got a lot of pockets. And all day long, the devil can give us more and more worries to put in the pockets until it just weights us down. Or the garment of praise is a garment that is bright and shiny and made out of a light material, and it has pockets. But when you put those pockets, don't have bottoms to them. They're not sewed together at the bottom. And when you put those worries in that garment of praise, they just slide right on through out on the path behind us. Peter was dealing with people who were being persecuted. He was dealing with people who were had problems just like you and I have problems. And he says, take your troubles to the Lord. Cast them, throw them, lay them down at the feet. Why? He cares for you. Cast your care at the feet of the Lord because He cares for you. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm trying to show you how many different promises God has for you. And I'm going to start reading at verse 5, and I want to read several verses because Paul is giving part of his own testimony, and he's talking about the victory that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 4. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that we excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Notice how many beautiful things he said. He said, we're preaching Christ. And then he reminds us who it is that we're honoring. Who it is that we're following. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He said, you know, this God walked out into nothingness and said, light be, and suddenly there was a universe that is astounding. We can't even reach and explore to the end of it. He said, that's the God that you're going to with your problems. And he says, in verse 7, the treasure is in us. He's put himself in us. And he gets the praise. And then Paul goes on and talks about trouble and perplexion and persecuted. He said, but you know, that's no big deal. Now when you read in other places where Paul talks about how many times he was beaten, how many times he was imprisoned, how many times he was shipwrecked, and you think, oh, here's a man that went through more than probably any other earthly human being did for his faith in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one place he says, it's a light affliction. It's a light affliction. Paul understood that in going to the Lord Jesus Christ with his needs and with his problems, God's power in him brought him through. And then let's look at another verse there, right close, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. I think that's a beautiful little verse. He said, God brings comfort to those that are cast down or lowly. God comforts those that are hurting, and often he does it by a brother or sister in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Paul was having a struggle at this particular point, and suddenly the Lord laid it upon Titus's heart to go and visit Paul. And as Titus came and visited Paul, Paul was encouraged. Friend, how many times has my life been blessed because some brother, some sister called me, sent a card, wrote me, visited me, let me know they were praying for me. And we can do that for each other. How many times we can just pick up the phone and call or text or all that other stuff that I don't understand a thing about, how you tweet and Twitter and all that other stuff that, you know, it's far above me. But there's all kind of ways to get in touch with one another. And we can do that and minister to one another. I'm thinking about a precious preacher friend of mine in Oklahoma. He's older than I am. He's alone, living in a big old parsonage. And right now, they've got snow, and he said, told me last night when I called him, that they're expecting the biggest snow that they've had since the 1980s. Well, now I know the first year we lived in Oklahoma, we had something like 18 or 20 inches in less than 2 weeks. So if they have something bigger than that, my preacher friend's going to be sitting there for a while going nowhere. And he said they'd already called off church for this morning, but that was okay. But I knew that he'd be lonely. And it didn't cost me anything except a little bit of love to pick up the phone and call him. Spend some time with him on the phone. Friends, Paul was encouraged. God used Titus to encourage Paul. God can use you to encourage others. Just be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Reach out and let their love touch you, and let God's love in you touch them. Now, let's look at one more passage of Scripture in Romans 8. And we ask the question, Pastor Ed, you talk about laying our burdens down, casting them at the feet of Jesus, not worrying. How is it possible? It's possible when we understand how much God loves us. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. At this very moment, he's at the Father's right hand praying for you. At this very moment, you're on his mind, you're on his heart. You can rest in peace and assurance that God loves you and you can't be separated from that love. Paul says, he names off all these kind of things. And he said, I am persuaded nothing can separate us from God's love. You think about it. God loved you when you weren't a Christian, when you weren't a believer, when you were mired in sin. And even if you've messed up right now, God still loves you. He may not be pleased with what you've done, but he still loves you. All of us have had our kids do things that didn't please us, but we still love them. And God still loves you. He loves you today. He loves you tomorrow. He'll keep right on loving you. God really does love you. And we as, in troubled times, we just depend on the love of God. We appreciate the love of God. We bask in the love of God. I'm thinking of several different ways to illustrate this. One of the things that, when times were normal, many of us would do, we'd walk up to a fellow believer and give them a big old bear hug. Just give them a big old bear hug. Say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister, in the Lord. Well, I've been doing the Book of Psalms as a part of my morning devotions this year. I've been doing it in the Passion Translation. And there's a phrase that just blesses me every time I read it. Number of the Psalms, it talks about God's wraparound presence. God's wraparound presence. In a sense, he's saying, just let God give you a big old bear hug. Just let God give you a big old bear hug. Just experience and rejoice in his wraparound presence. I thought of another illustration. Most of you know Pam's mom passed away a few months ago and the kids went through her personal items. And one of the things that Pam brought home was a quilt. Now, as far as fancy design or anything, it's not going to win any prizes at the state fair. But it's made, and it may be an old, old quilt. It's made the way mountain folks used to make them years ago out of whatever scraps they had left. And the underside of that thing is sure warm. And I asked for it, and she graciously gave it to me. And it's been just a blessing on these cold, raw days to sit down in my recliner, turn on a CD of a teaching tape, and wrap up in that quilt. And I feel warm and safe and just blessed. The psalmist said, be blessed by God's wraparound presence. Think too of your children. Bad thunderstorm comes up. And they want to come and they get in bed with you. Or they, if it's not at night, they climb in your lap and Daddy make it go away. Mama make it go away. Well, we may not can make that thunderstorm go away, but we can put our arms around them and hug them and love them and they settle down and go to sleep in your wraparound presence of love for them. I think about the little Cocker Spaniels that we had, Lady and Scarlet. Bad thunderstorm come up or at July the 4th or New Year's Eve when all the firecrackers and everything going off and the boom, 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 and those little dogs want to come get on the couch with us or they want to come curl up at our feet because they wanted to be where they were safe and loved. That's what Paul is saying to us in Romans 8. He's saying, child of God, you're loved. You're loved. Take your burdens to the Lord that loves you. And you see, this is how relevant the Bible is today. God doesn't pretend there are no troubles. There are no problems. There are no things to fret over. But God says, yes, in the middle of all of those things, come to me. Come to me. On the cross with Jesus' arms as wide apart as they could be, it's God saying, come to me. Come to me and let me love you. Let me take care of you. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that love can get you through a difficult day. Oh, I still have to lay some of my burdens at the feet of Jesus. And then I halfway get down the aisle of the church and I realize, oh, I picked three or four of them back up and I have to take them back and lay them down again. That's a part of it. But the more and more and more that I lay at his feet, the better it gets. The easier it gets. And the more I rejoice in the knowing that my Heavenly Father loves me, the easier it gets. Now, if you grew up in a home where dad was absent or dad was mean or hateful or abusive, it may be hard for you to really understand the love of God. If you grew up in a home where dad loved you and would do anything for you, it's easy to accept the love of God. I think about my own kids. They know that if they call today and they have a need, if there's any way possible in my power to do it, dad's going to meet their need because I love them. I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about several years ago, Pamela and I had a special trip planned. We were excited about it. We were looking forward to it. And suddenly we got word that both kids had financial needs. And I just wrote two checks, split the amount of money we're going to spend on that trip and split it and sent half to one child and half to the other one. We stayed home. It's love. It's love. And I don't feel the loss. I don't feel the loss. You never go to the Father in heaven and him say, well, I'm sorry, but I've used up all my love on Ed. I've used it all up on Leonard or Jeff. I don't have any left for you. No, the Father has enough love for you. The Father has enough love to meet every need that every one of us have. It's a trouble time. Sure it is. Don't deny it. But I tell you, friend, take it to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus, in another place that we didn't look at, said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask? Yes, oh, friend, don't be like that person that denies or refuses what the Father offers. Know him as your Lord and as your Savior, and know him as your counselor and your guide. Know him as your friend. Knowing him as the one who loves you, knowing them who welcomes your presence, knowing them, him as the one to whom you can go and say, Father, this is what's bothering me. This is what the devil is trying to give me as a worry. And Lord, I lay it at your feet. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus offers you peace today in a troubled world. Father, as we bow before you today, I pray for those that have heard what I've tried to share. And I pray today, Father, that if there's one that is still out in the cold and doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that today they say, I want in. I want into the Father's presence. I acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I know he died on the cross. I know he was buried. I know he rose again. And I proclaim him as my personal Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray for all of those that are listening that are troubled and worried and fretting. I pray, Father, that they'll not try to carry all their problems or half their problems and worries, but they'll take your invitation to come and lay them at your feet and receive from you the love that you want to bestow upon them and the peace that only you can give them. And Father, I thank you for doing it. I thank you that when you make these promises, you didn't lie to us. You told us the truth. That as we come to you, we receive your love, your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, your peace. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you, folks. The Lord give you peace. The Lord make his countenance upon to shine upon you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.